So we've heard this morning that we put on kindness, we can wear it like a necklace. And now we're going to read a really famous story in the Bible. I am 100% sure that all of you have heard this before. And I'm going to read from the Message version of the Bible. So it's going to come up on the screen in just a moment. Thank you. All right. There was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came upon him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs me any more, put it on my bill and I'll pay on my way back." What do you think? Which of the 3 became a neighbour to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." What a great parable that is. And I think perfectly talks about what kindness means. Now, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. We're to be all of these things. And we're focusing on kindness this morning. So here's 5 things we learn about kindness from the Good Samaritan. First of all, put others first. We read in this story, don't we, that these other people saw this man injured by the side of the road. Bible tells us he was left half dead. And the first person seeing him, the priest, thinks, "I'll pretend I haven't seen him and cross the road and kind of make my way past." Now, be honest. Have we ever done that? Maybe not seeing someone half dead on the road, but perhaps thought, "Oh, I think I'd quite like to avoid seeing this person, because I know if they start talking to me, I might be here for a good few hours." And so we sort of make a slight detour on our journey. I'll be honest, I know I've done that before. Not with any of you lot. Yet. Because you can do it to me as well, can't you? Oh no, here comes that mark again. Quick. But you see, the Good Samaritan, he puts aside his own plans, doesn't he? His own journey, the inconvenience, I suppose, of having to stop to help somebody. And he knows it's going to be messy and it's time consuming. And you see, sometimes being kind is inconvenient. It's time consuming. We know it can get messy. But you see, part of what we learn about kindness is that we put ourselves second and we put someone else before us. It's one of the reasons celebrating harvest is so important, that we're gathering up food. We're taking a special offering, which I will mention. It's a way of saying, do you know what, we have so much and we're aware of people who have so little. And we know as well, collecting food and giving in this way isn't just for once a year, is it? It's part of our daily expression of what it means to follow Jesus. So that's the first one. We put others first. Don't hold grudges. The injured man, again, we know this parable well. I don't think I'm saying anything revelatory this morning, but I hope I'm reminding us a little bit of what this fruit of kindness needs to be doing in us. The injured man in the parable was a Jewish man. And the Samaritans and the Jews traditionally hated each other. They were enemies. But as we see, there was no resentment here from the Samaritan who chose to stop. He sees his so-called enemy lying on the side of the road, desperately needing help. And he puts all grudges to one side. And he helps the man. And there's a challenge in us, for us in this as well, that there may be people who have offended us, upset us, hurt us, let us down. And you know, God says, well, our kindness needs to reach out to them as well. Don't hold a grudge about something that may have happened in the past. There's a time to forgive, to move on. And that's hard within us because we like to hold resentments. We like to hold a grudge because we feel it's kind of right to do that sometimes. But again, we're encouraged. No, put someone else first. Don't hold a grudge. Seems fairly obvious, but how encouraging for the Samaritan to suddenly have someone stop just to help him. A friend of mine was on he didn't work in London, but he was doing a course for about 3 months in London. And he, first day, he wasn't used to commuting. He got on the train and he said the carriage was full of the most miserable faces he'd ever seen. Everyone just sitting there, fed up to be on the train. And he thought, wow, have I got to put up with this every day for the next 3 months? And he also realised, amazingly, that even though everyone seemed to sit in the same seat every day on the train, this was all new to him. Anyway, as a Christian guy thinking, I'm only on this for 3 months. I've got a 3 month opportunity to cheer these people up. That was his thinking. He thought, if I've got to commute every day, I've got to do something. So the next day he brought in a big, massive packet of sweets and he went round the carriage saying, does anyone want a sweet? And at first everyone said no because they thought, who is this weirdo offering us sweets? To be honest, I'd have said no to him because he's massive as well. Really big, you know, really big guy. I'd have just said no thanks as well. Anyway, he did it every day. He started to do it. And after a while, everyone started taking sweets and he had to buy more sweets in. And they were, eventually he got known for these few months he was travelling up as the sweet guy. And everyone wanted to be in the carriage where the sweet guy was because he was giving out sweets. And he said by the end of his time, people were smiling. There was much more joy in the carriage. And he said it was as simple as me offering some sweets to people. I think in and amongst that as well, he also got to share his faith with them. But how encouraging for those people on that train. Every morning, their days were a little bit lighter and brighter from someone just deciding, do you know what? I'm not going to accept this dour face every morning. Let's do something about it. A kind word, a kind action, a smile, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? I'm sure you've all experienced it before where someone's just said something to you and you just thought, wow, I just needed to hear that. Well, the Good Samaritan, his encouragement is quite something, because he begins to bandage up and offer first aid to this guy. He puts him on his donkey. He leads him to an inn. How encouraging must this have been? In fact, all of these actions are a kindness which goes perhaps the extra mile, don't they? A bit above and beyond what you might have thought. To be fair, if we saw someone injured today, we'd probably get on our phones and call an ambulance. That's fine. We might stay with them. That's good as well. I always remember in my previous church, a young person came running into my office and he said, "Mark, one of our older church members has hurt themselves in the town." So I like went running to find them. He's passed away now, a man called Frank. And I have to say, when I saw Frank lying on the floor, his leg at an angle it shouldn't have been at, I was like, oh my goodness. I went over to him and he'd obviously been given some pain relief, because he was, "Mark, great to see you. How are you? How's the family?" And I was like, "Frank, how are you?" "Oh, I'm great," like this. Then the paramedic was there and he's like, oh, this is Mark. He's our youth minister at church." And I was just like, "Well, I'm not needed here." Clearly wasn't needed. It was quite fun though. But going the extra mile, the Good Samaritan, not only does he bandage him up and do all of this stuff that we talked about, this is the extra mile. He pays for his care, doesn't he? It's costly. And sometimes kindness, there's something costly about it. Not necessarily just financial kindness, but just time kindness. There's something costly about it. This kind of going the extra mile, I think, speaks more to people than the words that we say. I think it makes more of an impact in people's lives than perhaps anything we could say to them. And to state the obvious, help equals change. For the man lying half dead on the road, the actions of the Good Samaritan completely changed his situation around, didn't it? I like to think, I know this was a parable, it wasn't a true event of what happened, but I would like to think that part two of that story would be the injured man offering that same kind of kindness to somebody else in the future. He may have been left to die, but the Good Samaritan was the one who, in a sense, gave him life. When we help, it changes so much in a person's experience and situation and circumstance. See, this is what it means. This is what kindness is. These are just some things that we can learn from the Good Samaritan. It changes stuff. We go the extra mile. It's encouraging. We don't hold a grudge. And we put others first. And to cap it all off, you see, Jesus is speaking to an expert in the law here, and he's talking to him. And the question he's answering in this parable is, who is my neighbour? And the obvious answer, Jesus says, well, actually, everybody is your neighbour. Everybody is somebody who you need to love and care for and show kindness to. And that's why he says, go and do the same. In fact, the person he asked the question to couldn't even say the Samaritan. He answers the question, the one who showed kindness or mercy. Go and do the same. Well, if there isn't a greater challenge for us than that. The fruit of the Spirit, God is in us by his Holy Spirit, and he produces this fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all of these others that we will get to. every day, put kindness on. Wear it so that people can see it. Be like the Good Samaritan. Let's just pause just for a moment. I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday and somebody had posted a picture that said, kindness is not an act, it's a lifestyle. I think it's both, isn't it? Dear God, we know we don't always get this right. We want this fruit to continue to grow in us. For some of us, kindness might come very easily. For others, it's something we have to work at. But Lord, I pray that you would be in work at work in us. That every day we would wear it, we'd clothe ourselves with kindness, we'd wear kindness like a necklace, and we would live it out, the people that we meet. Lord, I ask that next Sunday we would all have stories of where we've been kind to somebody and it's been a remarkable thing. We invite you to move among us as your people, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a couple of songs to finish. Are you all nicely full? Do you all need a bit more cake? Adrienne's saying there's lots, so feel free during the song to force a bit more cake and food down you if you can. Or why not take some and give it to somebody? Wouldn't that be a great idea? Alright, I'm going to get this mic off, but let's stand together and sing our final songs. Just to say, whoever bought the Bourneville chocolate, I can't tell you what a temptation that is. Right near me. There's about 10 bars of it here. But it's alright, I will give it to the food hub, it's fine. It's going to the food bank, but thanks for that pressure on me this morning to... Let's worship to finish.